The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch begins now. You realize that if you don't lean back farther, I can't see you flinging your pencil to know you're trying to get my attention.
I wasn't trying to get your attention.
Oh, okay. It's hard to tell if you're playing with it or trying to get my attention.
The only time I do this to you is when we have guests. I don't do this when you're talking. I just jump in. So are you new here? Like, that's what I normally... Jesse disagrees?
Okay. My understanding is you like to talk about the Bucks, so we'll get to that in a second.
I would. I just heard...
To that in a second.
Oh, okay.
Pause.
Okay.
Do people not like trivia anymore? Or is this another example of people saying things...
What?
People saying things...
Who doesn't like trivia?
When they are in the virtual realm that they would never say to you in person. Inside the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube comments...
Now, is Milwaukee the more nasty...
That's the feisty
in
one.
...in your opinion?
Yeah, they're feisty.
...than the Madison? It's a little testier?
Michael, who hates trivia? Me. Seth, not a fan of trivia. Are you smarter than a fifth grader? One was fun but this is boring these days. It's too dragged out. Hate the trivia segments, Michael says.
Really?
Do we need to reevaluate trivia?
Let's evaluate it. We don't want to be all hasty with it.
Knee-jerky.
Yeah, we did not do it until COVID. And then when we did it during COVID, it was awesome, or at least in my opinion. And I think it's been fun because we get to have a little banter. There's regulars. We get the new caller. I would disagree with the Milwaukee chat, but I want to hear it. I want the criticism. I want us to evaluate, certainly. Maybe it is. Maybe it's gotten stale. Maybe we need a freshener. I don't know.
I enjoy trivia. I also enjoy Bucks conversations, which we're going to have now with our Bucks/NBA expert, Mark Tauscher. Tausch, what do you want to talk about Bucks-related? Somebody let John Wesley, the villainous John Wesley, know we're talking Bucks right now. We should have like a Bucks signal because we talk
Bucks
about them
alert.
So infrequently. But Tausch wants to talk Bucks. Tausch, the floor is yours.
So... I just heard Jesse's little Sports Center thing, and I saw that we blew out the Pelicans last night in a game that seems to have not mattered. We're not – so just so that I'm correct on this, we're not catching Indiana.
Correct.
No,
is there any
over.
Way we can catch Indiana?
Nope. It's
nope.
That's
over.
Done. So the best we can do is be the 5 seed and play Indiana and have to go on the road, win a road game in order to advance. That is the – Or we could fall to the 6th spot with 2 games left. Detroit sweeps us. They're 5, we're 6. We would then go to New York.
Well, so the Pacers still technically can catch the Knicks, but it's unlikely.
But
it is not a done deal yet. So Indiana is at least the 4 seed. They technically could flip-flop with the Knicks. And same thing, the Bucks are going head-to-head with the Pistons in the final 2 games. So if Milwaukee wins one of
great
the two.
Great scheduling.
Yeah.
Really good
out.
Scheduling by the NBA.
So if the Bucks
to
win
have that Sunday.
Either Friday night or Sunday afternoon, the Bucks win one of those two, they are going to be the 5 seed. It's a done deal.
Okay. And we still don't know if Dalla Dame is going to be available in the playoffs. We feel better because I saw a report yesterday that the blood clot has lessened and there is hope. Some optimism when it first was announced, I think most of us thought, oh, that's a wrap city for the season for Dalla Dame. So hopefully that'll be the case. But then the questions are, how in shape is he going to be? And there's obviously a lot of concerns about that, not only for his health, but from a playing standpoint. But the reason I bring this up and why I'm curious, I think there is a good shot that the Bucks will be eliminated in the first round. Like, if you were a betting man right now, Jason, I know you're not. Jesse, you are. More or less likely that they are no longer going to have home court at Fiserv. Doubtful that Dame is going to be able to be a big contributor. Would you make that wager that they're knocked out or that they advance right now as we sit here today?
I guess you're asking me that question because Jason's not
I'm
a betting
both.
Man.
Is Jason,
that
the... Jason is a non-gambler. I'd like to get both opinions.
I think based on the last 2 years, the Bucks had home court advantage in the first round and did not advance out of it, and they appear to be in a similar or worse situation heading into the playoffs, even though they've won six in a row as of right now. Yes, I would. If you made me wager on it right now, I would say they will not advance out of the first round of the playoffs.
Jason?
I think they upset whoever they face. That's Indiana. And they advance to the second round and then punch out in the second round.
So if either of those scenarios plays out, obviously it'd be better if they got to the second round.
Mm-hmm.
But if that happens and this Bucks run, we already saw Chris Middleton leave via trade. Drew Holiday has already been gone for a couple years.
Yeah, we miss him.
Would you view this golden age of Milwaukee Bucks basketball as awesome, or we left a lot on the table as a Bucks fan? Because you're going to end up with one championship. You're not no other appearances. And I just and I know I you always try to compare things to the Packers because that's how we view things through our show and from a Wisconsin sports fan standpoint, the Packers set the tone. But I think Bucks fans are all right with this. Even if this is the end of this era, and if Giannis leaves or if Giannis decides he wants to be traded, not saying that's going to happen, but this era of basketball is probably, you're going to see a big change moving forward regardless. How do we view as Bucks fans? Is this, are we satisfied with what occurred in this golden age from 2018 to 2025?
I think when you get a title, it sucks that they didn't get more opportunities, but let's look at how their playoff series were derailed by injuries. And by the way, their championship path almost was derailed by an injury to Giannis too, right? Like, yeah. I feel like they've been more unlucky than abject failures since they won the title. Am I wrong to feel that way?
But nobody cares about your feelings when it comes to that. You know that, right? I mean, I'm not arguing with you. Obviously, circumstances dictate
It's not an
things.
Excuse. It's an explanation for why they didn't advance further, in my opinion. Giannis is the best player in the world.
Does anybody care about that, though? It's about results. Sports is tough. It's a results business, and I would argue the only other one that I feel really sick about is that Raptors series and that season. And if you get that, it's similar to if the Packers get that Seahawks game and go on and win a second chip. Everybody views this whole thing in a different light. I don't think we're going to view the Bucks thing in a different light. I don't think, even though we should have, could have, maybe would have, the fact that there is a championship banner in Fiserv Forum and an MVP and what he's done, I don't look at this 7, 8, 9 year run, whatever you want to look at, as ugh. I mean, yes, you left some. I do think you left something on the table. But when you get that championship, and this goes to that argument and that question we always have: would you give up some success on a day, on a season to season basis, and chance to have a chance? If you get the one and then Struggle City comes knocking at your door, are you all right with it as a fan? This is going to be that case, because when and if this ends, you're going to see some struggle. And was that championship enough on your palate to keep you cleansed, quenched? I don't know. I think most of us would say yes.
I will ask my friend John Wesley, who does happen to be listening as we discuss the Bucks. So we didn't need the Buck signal. Are you going to be disappointed? Is your palate uncleansed or whatever you just went with?
I think there's a process, and I think the Bucks went through that process. But the only disappointing part, I'm not disappointed that they didn't get another chip. I would have loved to have seen Giannis and the boys get two.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as Ron Wolf says, one is kind of a fart in the wind, especially in the NBA circles when you're an all-time great. You got to validate with more than one. Very similar to quarterbacks. I treat Giannis like A-Rod. I treat Giannis like Favre. Like, they're all in that same stratosphere together. It's rarefied air. And getting one is great, especially for a franchise that has not had one in 50 years.
Yeah.
But there were opportunities, and I do think injuries affected it. But this was an when you get to this point and you have one of the transcendent players, you would hope for more than one, just like you would as a Packer fan.
I agree that when you have a player like Brett Favre or Aaron Rodgers or Giannis, you would like more than one. I also understand that there are plenty of teams that have gotten more than one when they had that type of player for you to be envious of. But don't most teams only win one? Like, what's going on with Denver?
No. Not as the transcendent players, Jason. Is NBA's it, different than quarter. It is.
Isn't Jokic?
If you look at
a transcendent player?
He is, and he's going to be. I think Denver will have similar conversations to what Milwaukee Bucks fans are having.
So that's another team that's in that position.
But
that
my
won a
point
title.
On this is, I don't know if you can put the Giannis's and the Jokic. They're transcendent players, but there's, like Deion said, there's levels to everything. Jordan, LeBron, Tim Duncan, Shaq / Kobe. You need more pelts to get up to the rarefied air. There's your commercial jetliner airway where you're at like 38 to 42,000. And then there's the PJs that go above all those and are flying up in that extra faster layer of air.
Okay.
Giannis and Jokic are in the upper commercial. Jordan, Kobe, Steph, LeBron, they're up in the PJ era.
So starting in 2000, the Lakers won three in a row. Then the Spurs. Then the Pistons had a title. They lost the finals the next year.
They're in the commercial jet era.
06, the Heat win with Dwayne Wade. That is the pre-LeBron era, right?
Yep.
Is that the pre-LeBron era?
Yes,
Spurs, Celtics, anything is possible in 2008, right? Then the Lakers
KG
win.
KG will be in the same boat as KG or Giannis, bigger NBA star. I think Giannis with his MVPs trumps KG. Okay.
Okay, then the Lakers win two more. Then the Mavericks with Dirk Nowitzki win one.
I would say they're more of the regional jet.
Okay.
They're the
Miami
jet.
Heat lose that finals, and then they win the next two. LeBron is the finals MVP in both of those.
Yep.
Spurs win another one with Popovich. Kawhi Leonard is the MVP of that series. Then the Golden State Warriors win three of the next four, with the exception being LeBron bringing a title back to Cleveland. A lot of LeBron in here, obviously.
Where do you? How would you put Kawhi versus Giannis?
Yeah, it's a great question, because then he wins another title with the Raptors.
That Raptors MVP. Season was our Seahawks.
Yep.
That's what happened there.
Mm-hmm. And then you got COVID, and the Lakers win in the bubble, then the Bucks win. Since the Bucks championship, the Warriors won again, the Nuggets, and then the Celtics last year.
Brett in the ESPN Madison YouTube comments compares Giannis to Dirk Nowitzki, assuming this ends up being the way it is. So Dirk had one with Dallas, right? Like, close several times, never got over the hump except for the one.
Never left.
Mm-hmm. Never left, yeah, played there the whole time. Like, he's regarded as an all-time great, but not in the same level as, obviously,
not in the
some
same
of the greats
that
you've talked about.
Yeah, they're good commercial jets. I think Dirk and Giannis are great comps. I think Jokic and Giannis, as we sit here today, very similar. From the Pistons, there's nobody up in that category, because you also have to have the individual pelts to go with the team pelts to be up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got the rarefied air, the private jet air. That's going to be more pelts and chips. That's a rare air, the pelts,
pelts
and chips.
Pelts and chips airlines fly the friendly skies. All right. I don't know where to segue after our NBA talk.
So are Bucks fans satisfied? Will Bucks fans be satisfied?
Does Giannis's future factor into whether you're satisfied or not when you ask that question?
Now, this isn't over yet.
He sounds like it is, isn't it? Doesn't it sound like
Guys,
it is?
This era, Brooke Lopez, Middleton's gone, Holiday's gone, Pat Connaughton's basically gone. Like,
wait, isn't Pat Connaughton still on the team?
You guys maybe don't want to admit that it's over.
Bobby Portis is
back. But this era is over once this postseason ends. And maybe they shock the world. Maybe they Buster Douglas this thing. Because this would be a Buster Douglas-type situation. If they can beat Cleveland and Boston and go and win a chip against the Lakers, this would be Buster Douglas-type deal. Then Giannis is up in the rarefied air.
All right. So I gotta be Giannis. I don't love the fact that we very rarely talk Bucks, and when we do, it is for you to proclaim that the era is over.
Doomsday. Doomsday tea.
It's not doomsday, guys.
Well, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break.
You're literally calling it the end of days.
it's end as close of to doomsday.
When this postseason,
we know it.
When this postseason run is over, it is, guys. Like, it is.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. Chicken Little. We're going to take a break. Yeah, the sky is falling. You've heard of him.
I don't get that reference, but. Okay.
You've never heard of Chicken Little?
No. Richie Little. Leonard Little.
Chicken Little's Fudge Shop up in Door County. We'll ask John Wesley next because he is called in. He is the biggest Bucks fan I know. If he feels like you're right, that it's the end of the world as we know it.
That's not what I said.
It's the end of the era.
Words in my mouth. End of an era. Not the end of the world. End of an era is different. You know that.
Did you want to tell me about Quick Trip now, or do you want to tell me about Quick Trip later?
I do. Life's busy. Quick Trip gets it. Quick Trip's convenient for me. Whether you're craving a fresh coffee, a tasty bakery treat, grab-and-go meals, or a snack, Quick Trip is your go-to. It has a variety of apps we've all discussed. Jesse's got a new one that he likes that's handwritten out there. I like those big, thick, beautiful mozzy sticks with the mozzarella cheese just dripping. You got Nature's Touch ice cream, chocolate, vanilla, cookies and cream, mint chocolate chip. And there's nothing, just like a draft, no bad draft picks. And right now, a gallon of that ice cream, Nature's Touch, is $4.99. You can get Nature's Touch milk for $2.99. The Quickery breakfast sausage links for $2.49. Always chicken. We'll get to that on Monday. You know the great deal on Mondays with chicken. All of it. Take advantage of the Quick Rewards app. Quick Trip has to offer. Quick Rewards on every visit. Plus, you can order ahead for pickup or curbside delivery. Quick Trip. We'll see you next time.
More Bucks Talk with John Wesley, our guest. Next, it's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
This is the end, beautiful friend. This is the end, my only friend.
Can we go back to talking about fudge? This is sad. All right, let's go. Let's talk to our friend John Wesley and see if he's in Tausch's club. And again, I don't want to misquote you. So state your position once again, please. Tausch.
Which part?
The part that's your position on the Bucks.
I don't know how many times. So, in essence, I believe that even if Milwaukee gets out of being the 6 or 5 seed, which will be an upset, if it's New York, if it's Indiana, they're not going to beat either Cleveland or the Boston Celtics. It's just not going to happen. And now I don't think Giannis is going to have to kind of figure out where his career is going. This is going to be a summer of clarity as far as where this organization is going to go moving forward. I hope Giannis decides, I'm here, I am a Milwaukee Buck, I want to rebuild and reload here and finish my career. Don't know how that's going to shake out, but I believe the Connaughton, Brooke Lopez, we already saw a bunch of the guys have left via trade or whatnot in Druin and Chris. So here we go. I think this era, with Giannis obviously as the ringleader, is over after this postseason. And I think it's been a success. That is, in essence, where I'm at with the Milwaukee Bucks.
John Wesley, are you in Mark Tauscher's clearly stated club now that he's crystallized his take?
Good morning, gentlemen. Geez, Tausch, it's that followed by the music that was just played. That's very downtrodden, I would say. I don't feel that way. I think, you know, asking the question of being unfulfilled, I think it can be put into two categories. I think you got to look at the old heads like myself and yourself, Jason. I'll call you an old head that remember back in the Bradley Center days on those Saturday nights where there were 7,000 people in the stadium and the only time it ever filled out was because the Lakers were in town, that, you know, Milwaukee was, fans were saying, you know, let the Bucks leave, it doesn't matter, we're never going to get a superstar, small market in the NBA is never going to win a championship, what's the sense of having, you know, a team like Milwaukee there? So I think you have to look at it where, you know, my group, quote unquote, are happy that we did get a championship and that we have been able to have a superstar and a transcendent player like Giannis on the team. I think the younger generation, you know, I'll put Jesse in that generation and probably say 35 to 40. I think the way that the league is now and, you know, the player movement and whatnot, that it is possible to get, you know, to trade for guys or to get some guys, or, you know, the circuit of basketball is so big that there's always great players that are kind of coming up, that they're more used to now of wanting to see two or three championships because that's what Golden State did, for example. So I think it's really put into two different categories. I think that I'll be disappointed if they don't win another one before Giannis leaves or retires, but I won't say that I'm an unfulfilled Bucks fan, because I honestly never thought that I would see the Bucks win a championship in my lifetime, and I've been a Bucks fan for over 50 years.
Not when you're watching Lee Mayberry and Todd Day. I'm curious, are you feeling any anxiety about if this era ends? Because Lord knows the older gentleman that does a daily one-hour radio program on these airwaves, Homer, has been expressing his concern and telling us, go see Giannis while you can because he may not be here anymore. Do you have those same anxious feelings or not as a Bucks fan?
I mean, I would say no. I mean, if Giannis leaves, you know, Giannis leaves, but you can't blame the Bucks organization if Giannis does decide to leave, because the Bucks organization has done everything that Giannis has wanted, from the coaches that they brought in or fired to the players that they brought in. I mean, they've tried to organize, they've tried to shape this team around what would be best around Giannis. And I think that, you know, a lot of people, I think, are comparing the Bucks of today, today's team, to the team of last year and the year before. And if you look at it, the Bucks are, all of a sudden, they have generated themselves and transformed themselves into a young team. I mean, Ryan Rollins has a lot of potential. If you can bring KPJ back, if you can bring, you know, Gary Trent Jr. back, I would assume that Pat is going to re-up his contract, and, you know, probably Bobby. But, I mean, Bobby's only 30, so he's not really old, and he's got a skill set that definitely fits what's best around Giannis. You know, Dame has probably got another year left, and I don't, you know, necessarily think that he's old. He's just got to be healthy. So, you know, I would look at it that if I was Giannis, I would say that there are some pieces that are around right now that, you know, I can stick around. And if we can get Brooke on a lower contract, or if we can, you know, piece some pieces together and maybe get like a Miles Turner or whatever, we can kind of transform and reshape the team without having to rebuild. And you can do that around Giannis. So, you know, I don't, you know, he could leave. I don't think he's going to leave. I would probably place a nice wager on the fact that I don't think he's going to leave, because I think that the Bucks have transformed themselves from a team that was old when the season ended last year to, I honestly think that they could beat anybody in the playoffs right now, assuming that everybody stays healthy.
Mm-hmm. All right, I was just going to ask you that, John. So you think that this team can make a big playoff run, beating both the Cavs and the Celtics potentially to get to another championship? You think that's possible?
I think it's possible. I think a Boston series would be a struggle just because, you know, the matchups don't favor the Bucks, you know, considering when you're looking at sort of the Brook and the Bobby lineup. So they'd have a better chance, like, if Jericho Sims was back and healthy, because he's a switchable player. I think with the Cavaliers, I love what they've done, but, I mean, we've all seen, and the Bucks are an example, we've all seen a team that's had a great regular season, and you get into the playoffs, and it's a whole different animal. And it's Sam Merrill, and it's Max Strus, you know, and is Dean Wade going to hit those three-pointers, and is DeAndre Hunter going to hit those three-pointers in game six of a, you know, of an Eastern Conference semifinals, the way that they hit three-pointers in game, you know, 67-68. So I think that, you know, the way that they're coming together, and if Dame does come back, if Doc, and my biggest fear is Doc Rivers and who he's not going to play in the playoffs, if Doc is able to keep the ball in Giannis's hands and let him distribute the way that he's been distributing the last couple weeks, where he's been phenomenal, probably the best form of Giannis that we've seen all season. And if we can get, you know, use Dame more off ball with KPJ and Dame more off ball with Giannis running the point, I think the Bucks could, I think they could beat the Pacers in five games. I think they could beat the Cavaliers in, you know, in six games. And I think the, you know, I would say that it'd be a toss up against Boston just because of the matchups and who Doc would actually decide to play in the playoffs. Cause we've all seen Doc in the, in, you know, in the playoffs in the past. And, you know, sometimes his rotations kind of leave your head scratching. So I think there's possibility, but again, it's all a matter of health.
So in fairness, John, you would bet big money that Giannis is going to continue to play for the Bucks. You would not bet big money that the Bucks come out of the East, though.
If the Bucks were going into the playoffs with the same team that they had last year, I would say Giannis is gone. I would bet big money that Giannis is coming back. I would bet less big money on the Bucks coming out of the East, just due to the fact that the matchup against the Celtics, I think, would be their toughest, you know, their toughest matchup, and it would all depend on what Doc Rivers decided to do.
Okay. Wes, we appreciate.
And I love you,
buddy.
Guys, but I especially love you guys when you talk about the Bucks. Just so you know.
Well, you help us be smarter when we do it. So thanks, buddy. And maybe this is another question that we should have asked Wes because he loves the team so much. But, like, Homer was the one who suggested that after the firing of Malone in Denver that the Bucks should now go after him as their next coach and have to pay four coaches that would still be receiving checks. Are you, Tausch, okay with Doc Rivers continuing to coach this team even if they punch out in the first or second round of the playoffs here?
I am going to completely cede that to Giannis. If Giannis is okay with it, I'm okay with it. If he's not, I want Giannis in Milwaukee. However, even though I understand, I've seen this movie play out before.
You have.
Watching other star players, the NBA is different. And Giannis needs to stay in Milwaukee as long as possible, in my opinion. And whatever we can do that, to keep him here, that's what I want to do. That's what I'd advocate for.
All right. We've got a lot of great things still coming up on the show, including scheduled to appear Badgers offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes. I'm trading some text messages with Lance Leipold, the coach at Kansas, who I love. And I think, as Badgers fans, I think it sounds to me, based on what people tell me, that they got a good one now. That's going to be a good fit for what the Badgers want to do offensively. So we'll ask them a bunch of questions about that during the 11 o'clock hour. Before we can get to that, though, we got to give away another spot for ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Podcast coming to Green Bay. That is on April 23rd. That's Wednesday the 23rd. Field Yates, Daniel Dopp, Mike Clay, Liz Loza, and Stefania Bell are doing a live show at the Tundra Trio, and ESPN Wisconsin wants to send you and a friend up to Green Bay to see the show happen live. Right now, Caller number seven, caller seven at 844-770-3776 wins two tickets to ESPN's Fantasy Focus Football Live at the Tundra Trio. See the show up close, meet all the hosts, get complimentary food and beverages, and you'll also walk away with some Fantasy Focus Football podcast merch. That's caller seven right now, 844-770-3776. More Wilde and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Thanks to John Wesley for joining us and adding his Bucks fan insights.
What's his credibility?
Pretty high. He's been a season ticket holder for a really long time. UW guy. Carbone Cancer Center guy. Smart guy. So, yeah, he knows ball.
Name.
I mean, he's no Justin Garcia or Eric Name, but he's pretty good. Now, I would like to get back to our lane, which is the Green Bay Packers. And Lucas Van Ness, who is on the tailgate tour. We have talked a lot about him. There appear to be lots of skeptics when it comes to Lucas Van Ness. I think I'm a convert, Tausch. And here's why.
Why?
Because, so, he obviously has not been uber productive in his first two NFL seasons. But if you put together some of the, some might say, breadcrumbs that lead to why he has been less than ideally productive.
Going to be in Green Bay in 2 weeks, by the way.
I wonder if that's hanging on the wall yet. I think there's some reasons for it. And he brought this up. He was on the stop at in Pewaukee when he mentioned this. I knew he played with a broken thumb last year. We saw him with the cast. We saw him in the locker room. We talked about it with LaFleur. He didn't talk about it much. But I didn't realize this, and I have not broken down every snap that he played, his 396 snaps he played last year. But he said he always was rushing from the right side of the defense. It was his right hand, the thumb on his right hand. And that meant, A, going up against left tackles all the time. B, a guy that, as Tausch so eloquently pointed out from the very beginning, strong like bull, need to develop other pass rush moves because you can't just bully guys like you might bully the tackle from Rutgers or Maryland or Northwestern or whoever it might be playing at Iowa. And then on top of that, he did play, never started a game, but did play as a true freshman, as a true sophomore, and then left. Like, he's... there's a lot of potential still there, and I'm a sucker for potential. But he's going to be healthy. He's going to be in the second year of the system. He was a guy who had his hand in the dirt at Iowa, and he went back to that last year. The thumb part. Am I looking at the world through green and gold colored glasses when I look at Lucas Van Ness and I hear Goody say things like, we have everything we need right now, even though I'm bringing in lots of edge rushers on pre-draft visits? How do you am I being Pollyanna-ish to think that this guy could have a breakout year three after two mid-seasons as a first-round pick, the 13th overall pick in 2023?
What does that mean to you, breakout season?
Tell me what that 8 or 9 sacks, 25, 30 pressures, like makes a difference for them. Isn't like a Pro Bowler, but is a good, solid, consistent pass rusher who allows them to go with a four-man rush far more frequently than they were last season. That's my definition.
I think Lucas Van Ness, you keep seeing guys, and especially in that position, unless you're chop and you're just a freak, quick, off-the-ball guy, and that's what you do. It takes a while to learn how to rush the passer in this league. There's not, you know, you don't get a lot of gimmies. And unless you have that extra gear that is just special on special, you learn as you go and you start figuring out how you can attack people and make plays on a semi-consistent basis. That's what they're asking for Lucas Van Ness. And from the jump, we all know he's strong. Mm-hmm. That was the reason they drafted him, is because, you know, he has all of the tangible things that you're looking for. Now it's, can you figure out? And I think the biggest storyline, or one of, that has probably gotten underplayed is the fact that they fired Matt LaFleur. Doesn't fire coaches.
Mm-hmm.
He just doesn't. He fired the D-line coaches, and he brought in a guy that has a coordinator background and has had success developing and helping guys rush the passer. Lucas Van Ness is case study one for him. That is, I think, one of the reasons that LaFleur has done that, is because he feels like there is talent here that is not being maximized. Now, it's up to the players to take whatever new techniques and new thoughts that these coaches have and bring those to light. Lucas Van Ness is going to get a bunch of opportunities. And I do think when you have a kind of that baseline, and you know you're an NFL player. Okay, we've seen that he can play. He's mm-hmm. done some things. Then it becomes, can you replicate it? Can you grow? And then you can consistently do it. And when you consistently do things, good things happen to you. That's in life. That's in football. Good habits. And as long as Lucas Van Ness is working, I don't think anybody is saying he ain't working. He's up there. He's doing all the stuff that you hope.
Cooking that guy now in the oven mitts.
Now you're hoping to see him elevate that. And so I think that there is no doubt he is going to have to play a bigger role. And if he doesn't, he ain't going to be here.
Jesse, are you a skeptic? Am I being too hopeful?
I think you're generally too hopeful for some of these guys because you get to be pretty close to them and covering them and whatnot.
He and I aren't close, but yeah, that's fair. I do. I am a sucker for potential. There's no doubt about it.
I still think
Robert Ferguson is going to become a really good wide receiver in the NFL.
I heard you last weekend on the Saturday Scramble show with Pablo Iglesias and Alex Gravatt on ESPN Madison.
Love that show.
You said that the Packers are a player away from becoming a legitimate Super Bowl contender, but that player may be on the team right now. And Lucas Van Ness, I believe, was one of the names that you mentioned as a player that if he were able to elevate his game to the next level, he could make the Packers a legitimate top dog Super Bowl contender by becoming a bigger threat on defense. And Rashawn Gary was a name you mentioned, and I think there's a couple others too that we could probably, you know, we've talked about him on our show that we could put in that mix. I hope you're right that he is someone who can become a better version of himself next year, but to this point, there really isn't any evidence that that's going to happen. And based on Goody's track record of first-round picks and how they've evolved in their careers, by this point, we would know if he was going to get to that point or not, and it looks like he hasn't. So that's what concerns me
the
most.
Well, that's just not fair, and that's not accurate. There are plenty of players that grow and start at a certain point and then develop into being really good pass rushers. There are very few chops that have 10, 11 sacks in their rookie season. Julius Peppers. There are very few guys that do that, the Bosas. Most guys go the Trey Hendrickson route. Now, I'm not saying that Lucas Van Ness is going to become Trey Hendrickson. But I'm also saying if you are in New Orleans and you had the first 2 years that Trey Hendrickson had, their Jesse Nelson in ESPN Louisiana is going to be saying the same thing. Well, I don't see it.
But he wasn't the 13th overall pick. Trey Hendrickson was not the 13th overall pick. He was the third-round pick. So Cajun Jesse Nelson is probably not talking about Trey Hendrickson all that much at that time.
I'm also getting rid of him.
I'm not specific.
Then dump him. Be done with him.
I'm not specifically. You were ready to trade him for Myles Garrett, weren't you?
Yeah, I still would. And I think most sane people would. I'd also trade him for T.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Whoa, how crazy is that? And you know what else, Jesse? I'd trade him for Trey Hendrickson, too. And you know who else would? Jason Wilde.
Not just me today, Jesse. I told you.
My assertion was not just about pass rushers developing. It's about Goody's first-round picks developing. Jair Alexander, you knew very quickly he was going to be a good player coming out of that draft. Mm-hmm. Rashawn Gary hasn't taken the jump. Eric Stokes never became what you wanted him to be after a couple of years. And he said, let's see how he develops. Let's see how.
Has Rashawn Gary been a good football player?
He's been good.
Okay.
But he hasn't elevated his game to become what you wanted him to be.
Hey. How many first round picks are all pro? Oh, how many first round picks become all pros? Like, just because you're a first round pick, you're not all of a sudden enshrined to be great. That's not how it works.
Yeah, but you know the expectations that come with it. Has he played like the 12th overall pick? We're talking about
which 12th? He's played better than Justin Harrell.
He was 16th. But be that as it may, the fact of the matter is that Lucas Van Ness was part of the world famous Tausch pick swap. In fact, he mentioned that in his answer about sacking Aaron Rodgers, which we played yesterday. He didn't mention your brilliance about predicting the pick swap. But the guy they took at 15 to the Jets, a Wisconsin-born, went to Pulaski High School in Milwaukee, and then I think Waukesha North maybe, then played at Iowa State, Will McDonald. Will McDonald last season in his second year had 10.5 sacks. He had 38 pressures. Those are more in his second season than Lucas Van Ness has had combined in 2 years. And he went two picks later.
Then. Get rid of him then. I think
I'm
he
not
can develop.
Saying that. What I'm saying is I think it's fair to be disappointed in his production through 2 years. And I also think, like me, it's fair to still have some measure of intrigue at his potential and say, you know what? I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I don't want to get rid of him. I want to see what he does in year three. But he's another guy that we cannot deny is facing a pivotal year where it's blank or get off the pot. Fair?
Yeah, that's the case. That's the case for almost every young player. But yes, that is fair. I don't think anybody could argue with that. But then that makes you think, do you have enough trust that you're not going to select an edge guy in the first or second round, or are you going to? Because it doesn't matter what you say.
It's true.
It's what you do. And if Goody drafts a guy first or second round, they're basically telling you, we don't think he can. Because there's plenty of other spots that Brian Gutekunst needs to address that if you don't think you have the horses, or you're not going to keep Rashawn Gary, one of those two cats, if an edge guy comes off the table in round one or round two, one of those two cats is on high alert.
Yeah, you're right about
that. Their time in Green Bay is coming to an end.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I am curious to see how this plays out on draft day. He could draft Shamar Stewart with his 1.5 sacks a year, but his 9.99 RAS score, and maybe he takes kind of a red shirt year, and Lucas Van Ness has a big year.
Yeah, I think that's what all of us are hoping for. I think Packer fans want him to be great. Now it's up to him, and it's up to the fact that we have a new D-line coach. There's a lot of new stuff, and now we have to see it, and we shall see if that is how it plays out.
Well, for now, Lucas Van Ness is decidedly still eligible for our Steinhoffel Sleeper of the Week Award. We're not doing that right now once the season starts, but if it's time to upgrade your home, the best brands, best prices sale is here at Steinhoffel. Save 10% on all in-stock and special order furniture, dining, bedrooms, sofas, and so much more. And with Steinhoffel's special 60-month financing, your dream room is now even more affordable. Don't miss your chance to refresh your home with the brands you love. It's the best brands, best prices sale only at Steinhoffels and Steinhoffels.com. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Badgers.
There are moments where it feels like you're close, but taken holistically, those look like blips.
Because we're on Wisconsin sports.
To win a championship, you have to consistently be that team.
This is 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Give me a
So we are scheduled to be joined by Badgers offensive coordinator Jeff Grimes, trying to triangulate the end of practice with joining us. So we want to be a little flexible. So Tausch, tell us about Coors Light so we're in position to be ready for Jeff, whenever he may be available.
Well, some of us think this is the best weekend just to sit back on your couch, crack open a Coors Light, and watch drama unfold on a great amphitheater as Augusta. Coors Light is going to be that drink in my hand. Brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filter, and it's cold packaged. So it is made to chill, and I'll make sure those mountains are blue. So when I know Coors Light's cold-activated bottles and cans are chilled to perfection, that's why there's always Coors Light in my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
The 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch, which will include a conversation, scheduled to happen anyway, with Jeff Grimes, the Badgers offensive coordinator, starts in 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.